Welcome to the Art of Intentional Creation.
Hello. Today our hearts wanted to talk about filling our own cup. And so we listened.
So when we talk about this concept of filling our own cup, I'm reminded of the cliche of happiness is found within. And I think, yeah, that's something I've been told so many times throughout my entire life, and it seems like the most common sense thing in the world. But yet, when I look at people around me, I see so many people looking to experiences on the outside create the feelings that they really want to feel.
So true. Yeah, it seems like a cliche, and I think people often close off to the idea. You know, when someone feels, hears filling your own cup. Oh, yeah, it's obvious. I need to take care of myself. Yet most people miserably fail at it.
Wow. Yes. They right? seem to be unaware of truly what it means.
Exactly. Right. So really, again, common sense clearly is not a common knowledge. Because yes. How do you know that? You know, because we think we know something.
Yeah.
But we don't really know it if we don't embody it, if we cannot put it in practice. Right.
Right. I'm reminded
of the think you know how to be a great communicator, yet you constantly have conflict and misunderstandings when they clearly you're not such a good communicator you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So you may think what it means to fill up your cup, like, oh, yeah, I've heard it 5,000 times. It's obvious. Moving on. Yet, are you really doing it? Is that reflecting in your daily life?
Ah.
If you do, then you really know what it means to fill up your cup.
Right.
If you're constantly stressed out, frustrated, feel depleted, that maybe you need to revisit that little cliche you think it is.
You know, so it's interesting. When we say filling up your cup, really, that's something that's happening all of the time. By default anyways, like technically we're always filling our cup mm-hmm. with something.
Mm-hmm. And so the question is what we fill it up with, right?
Precisely. Yes. And how intentional are we about it?
Exactly. Yes. So since we're filling our cup anyway, let's practice the art of intentional creation and actually consciously choosing what we do fill our cup with. I love that.
Yes. So I think the first thing to do would be to define filling our cup for the purposes of this conversation exploration. We're specifically talking about filling our cup with things that are nourishing, that recharge us energetically, that help us, again, cultivate that feeling that so many people look on the outside for, help us to cultivate those feelings from within.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, so really find those hacks that do the trick and go deep and fully fill our cup in a maybe short amount of time. Because I think what we all present to is that it's hard to do on a tight schedule in a hectic world.
Mm.
It's much easier when we're on vacation or when we have a day off. When we have a longer extended amount of time and we can just, you know, roll around and do whatever we want. And it's much harder to do on a daily basis when there are kids, schedules, carpooling, work, and all the things we fill our day with, right? That they all feel important and urgent when they happen.
And also the times when it's most important to make sure that our cup is full. If we're really going to meet all of those responsibilities to the best of our ability, we have to have a full cup.
Yes. Yes. As they say, you can't give something you don't have.
Yes.
So if you have no patience, you cannot be patient with somebody else, right?
Yes.
If you're not present with yourself, you can be present with somebody else.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So
I'm all about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what are some, the hacks to do. Okay. So let's talk about it. So what are some ways to fill our cups?
Well, basically, mm-hmm.
Yeah, just
basically,
to start.
I think they divide between two ways. You can either do it all by myself, you know, mm. me, myself, and I, mm-hmm. or you can include others in mm-hmm. filling up your cup, mm-hmm. right? So the first way to do it by yourself would be you have to be aware of what your needs are, and then you have to know how to meet them, right? But also notice what gets in the way. And often what gets in the way is guilt.
Ah.
I think especially for women, especially for mothers. Happy Mother's Day coming up, by the way.
Yes.
We often put everything else in like first.
Right.
Right. And then we get to this point of depletion and frustration and we snap. Mm-hmm. So I think the first way is to learn about yourself, knowing what you need, what your needs are, being aware when you're reaching this point, and then being aware what's coming up, guilt, shame, justifications, right? Why I shouldn't or I can't or, you know, not now, right?
Right.
To be able to fill up the cup by yourself on your own. And the second way is to include others, and that would be by asking. And let me just make that clear. I'm not talking about expectations coming from entitlement. Because basically, regardless how you do it, by yourself or by including others, ultimately the responsibility to fill your cup is always on you.
Yes.
What I'm talking about here is letting other people to be a part of experience if they so choose to, and if you would rather prefer having somebody involved in your experience and doing it on your own, which is very different than expectations for somebody to reach your mind or entitlement that they should know or they should care or they should give me something and then getting upset if that doesn't happen.
Right.
Because that virtually gives your power away, right? But
yeah.
If you're coming from the other place, of a place of like, okay, I could really use a hug right now. Yeah, I know I can, you know, roll in a soft blanket or I can give myself a hug. I can put my own hands on my lower back that's hurting. But it would be so nice if I actually got a physical hug from somebody else. Okay, let me think of who would I want to get a hug from. And then asking. That requires courage. That requires
yes.
being vulnerable.
Yes.
And that comes from a personal power, like an empowered place in yourself.
Yes.
And then when you can combine them with no expectations, meaning being disattached from the outcome and thinking, you know, I can meet this need regardless. I would rather have Josiah hug me because I love his freaking hugs. But I'm okay if he doesn't feel like hugging right now because
yes.
I have plan B and I can do that by myself.
Yes. What I'm hearing you say there is it's not coming from a place of neediness. It's more coming from a place of I'm aware of what my needs are in this moment. I am aware that my needs are worthy of being met. And I'm aware of ways that I can ask and communicate my needs. But I'm also not needy for someone else to do it for me. I'm capable of meeting my own needs. And I'm allowing in a beautiful way other people to meet me in that space.
Yes, and by not being needy means I am not making myself a victim if I don't receive it.
Ah, beautifully said, yes.
I still have my own power.
Yes, not giving the power away. Yes.
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 The power stays with me. I do not give it away. And also, I don't make things up if I don't receive it from somebody I ask it from.
Right.
So let's say if I ask you for a hug and you say, oh, I'm not very touchy-feely right now, then I won't make it mean I am not worthy of receiving it.
Yes.
Or I'm being rejected.
Right.
I'm not going to make it about myself in a diminishing, victimized way.
Yes.
That's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, beautifully said. Okay. So talking about it, either being, you know, filling the cups ourselves, or perhaps even being willing to ask to have others help us meet our needs. But then there's also this aspect of when we're really filling our cups, it's most effective when we're aware that that's exactly what we're doing. It's like like when we label it as such.
Yes, that's so true. You know, I've noticed many times that I feel like I don't. Sometimes I think, oh, I don't have enough fun or pleasure. And then I look back at my week and I'm thinking, what am I talking about? I had so many awesome, fun conversations, outings, activities, right? And then I realize it's because I wasn't fully present in the experience. So let's say I did go to the museum or I did go to a fun coffee with somebody, but maybe I was distracted by looking at my phone or feeling guilty having coffee when in my head I was thinking I should be doing five other things that are on my to-do list today. Right? So when we are not being fully present in the experience, we are not really able to fully receive it.
Yes.
And therefore we really have asset and we can't. So it's, imagine you're trying to fill up your cup. So you're holding a cup and you have a pitcher and you're trying to pour things in. And let's say the cup is your friend whom you're meeting for a coffee with, or the cup is, you know, going to a museum or on a walk in a beautiful nature scenery, right? But as you're trying to do it, you're not paying attention to where you're pouring the liquid in. So it spills all over. Half of it's in a cup, half of it's on the counter, right? It's a very different experience of filling the cup versus being looking at the cup, holding the pitcher firmly, and aiming exactly into the cup.
Yes. The intention behind it. It feels
very differently, right?
Yes.
So it's the same way when we had the coffee with a friend, yet we think of other things to do. We're kind of spilling the liquid, you know, some lands in the cup, some lands around.
Yep.
So yes, it's very important to label it and be like, okay, I am meeting with so-and-so. This is to fill up my cup. Therefore, I am making an intention of being fully present into this experience so I can really receive.
Yes.
To really fill up my cup. The I quality of it.
Yes. Just the way you're saying that. Time, yeah. It just
whatever we give our time to fully be present in it.
Yeah.
Deepens our experience.
Yes. And there's an ease and a grace in the way that you're describing that as well. It's like I'm fully aware that the purpose of this moment is to fill my own cup. And therefore, there's no guilt associated with that. There's no, oh, I need to be somewhere doing something else. No, that literally is the purpose of this moment. I'm aware that that's the purpose of this moment. And being fully aware of that, I'm allowing myself to really revel in it, allowing the moment to really nourish me, because that's the whole point of being in the moment.
Yes, it's not. Yes, one thing is what we do, but really the magic is how we do it. Another example that I think may be a good illustration. Imagine you are hungry and you are aware of being hungry. And you think, okay, I need to eat something, right? How different would be an experience of opening a fridge and just grabbing something quickly as you're putting your shoes on and running down the stairs and getting in your car, versus the experience of actually preparing the food, making it look beautiful, and chewing every bite and actually enjoying the act of eating it. The outcome is going to be more or less the same. You're no longer hungry.
Right. But the satisfaction.
The experience.
Yes.
The quality of it.
The quality of the experience, the satiation that takes place when that level of intention and conscious presence is invested into the experience of literally nourishing your physical body.
Exactly. So going back to the cup, in the first experience, most of it spills outside of the cup. And you're like barely aiming in it. And it takes you maybe, you know, five times longer to fill up this cup because 80% of it lands somewhere else. Versus the second experience of intentionally aiming in your cup and every drop lands in a cup. Oh, doesn't this feel amazing?
It feels so good. Yes.
Yes, let's fill up our cups. Let's practice the art of intentional creation as we do that.
Yes. Yes, doing so intentionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So when we talk about how important this is, and I feel like we're starting to elucidate that now, the more we're talking about this, the more I'm seeing so clearly the importance of it. But it's also important to know when it's time to fill up our cups, specifically with our intention. And this is also part of how we make it practical for the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So often the things that set us off are super basic, actually. To the point that they are so basic, we ignore them because we often look for more sophisticated or advanced ways of explaining things. Uh-huh. And I feel like what we need to be aware of is that often those are super basic triggers. Mm. Kind of like a child, you know. When a child is fussy, what would you first investigate? What would you ask about?
Are you hungry?
Exactly. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you tired? Do you need to go pee-pee? Are you cold? Are you hot? Right? Mm-hmm. And only when those things are eliminated, then you may think of more complex, sophisticated things of the upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as an adult, we often forget that.
Mm.
Because we feel so, you know, obligated and our list is so full and we just keep running through the day,
mm-hmm.
trying to knock as many of those things on our to-do list as we can. And we just forget sometimes on our basic, I think we as adults, we are very, very good at frustrating our needs and neglecting our needs.
Ooh, frustrating.
We learn that. We learn that through life to put our needs aside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say you're at work and you're at a meeting and you think, oh, I need to go to the bathroom, but, well, I can't just walk out of the meeting. Okay, I'm just going to hold it for the next 15 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a silly example, but we do it so often, all the time. We're so well trained at that.
Mm-hmm. Condition.
So often, yeah, it seems so obvious, but we often overlook that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So it's a great place to start. It's just simply, quite literally, with the basics. Am I feeding myself when I need to eat? Am I properly hydrated? Like all of these things, you'd think, oh, that's literally as basic as it gets. But it literally is the foundation to this building that we're building, and right. The foundation holds the rest of it up.
Right. So noticing I'm cranky. Oh wait, maybe my blood sugar is low. Maybe I need mm-hmm. to snack something. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm getting a headache. Instead of popping a painkiller, thinking, oh, maybe I need an extra glass of water.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. So that leads us to being able to recognize those early warning signs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Being aware of them, being present to them, and catching ourselves, catching this moment of when we're sleeping before we snap.
Mm-hmm. Right. Being present enough with ourselves to identify when we're starting to run low, when our tank is or our cup is starting to run low. Yes. Yeah. Now for me personally, one of the first things that I notice is it's like the tone of my thoughts changes ever so slightly. But I've become so aware of it because I've been tuned into this space. I can notice and like, oh, that thought feels a little different than what I'm used to. What's going on? And then I can ask myself.
Can you give an example?
Yeah. So like, you know, if someone invites me to do something, like let's say I'm hanging out with a friend or something's like, hey, you want to go for a walk? And normally I'd totally be down to go for a walk, but instead I'm just like, ugh. Right. And like, well, that's a different reaction. Like
it's like a chore, not like a fun thing to do.
That's a great way to say it. Yes. Mm-hmm. It starts to feel like a chore. I'm like, well, wait a second. Why does that feel like a chore? And rather than judging it, it's like, it's a curiosity. It's an exploration. It's like, okay, well, what's going on with me? Like, what do I need in this moment? And, And it could be that my blood sugar is a little bit low. And so I'll kind of check in with myself. When was the last time I ate? Do I need to eat something and then go for a walk? You know, maybe I need to drink some water. Maybe I'm done hanging out with people for the day and I literally just need space, like whatever it is. But just noticing that ever so slight, like, oh, suddenly I feel some resistance here. Like you said, like it feels like a chore. That's a perfect way to say it. Suddenly just the slightest little shift and I'm feeling a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's my early warning sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that shows you that you are running low on the reserve, because anything we do requires energy. Mm-hmm. So when we are energized, it's not overwhelming or stressful for the body or adrenal system, right, to do those things. I've noticed that as well. I am a super social person, and I'm very blessed with lots of invitations to do fun things. And I've noticed when I don't fill up my cup, I end up saying, when I start landing low, it's when I start saying no to fun things. Not because I don't want to do them, but because I feel like it's another burst of energy I don't have.
Yes.
So yes, it's fun to go hiking or go to the museum or hang out, go to a party when I'm rested and I'm filled up.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm not, it becomes overwhelming. It becomes something demanding of my energy that I am already low on.
Ah, well said. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's like you have a budget of energy and then here comes a bill and you're like, well, wait a second. I'm not sure I can pay this bill.
Right.
With the energy that I have in my budget. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So what happens when we miss those early warning signs is we go into regression. Mm-hmm. And by regression is a psychological term, which means kind of going back to an earlier, lower states or less evolved selves. Kind of like a bratty child, you know?
Yes.
When you're a child, like you don't know exactly, you're just learning about what different things mean, and when you feel this way or this way and you don't have the greatest tools to deal with things, right?
Yeah.
And then hopefully with age, as you evolve and mature, you start to recognize it better and then come up with better coping skills.
Yes.
But this is all fun and games when we feel charged and grounded and present and in a good space.
Yes.
But when we are not, we go into regression. When we are stressed out for whatever reason, emotionally, biologically, right? Our body is not feeling, let's say we are in pain. And what happens in those states of stress is we're not creative.
Mm.
Our more advanced, you know, skills and mind kind of shuts off, and we act more from those lower biological survival states. Right.
Yes.
And that's what I mean by regression. We kind of regress back to the basic reactions, responses.
Yes.
So just being aware of, okay, I need to have things set up before that happens. Because when I am in this state, that's not the time when I'm being creative. This is the time when I regress to, you know, protect myself, to defend myself, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So catch it before that happens. And how we can catch it is by observing how we feel, what we think, and how we act.
Yes.
When we are about to snap, like right before.
Yes.
Right. So there is this importance of noticing how this process escalates. When we do not fill our cup, and our cup is running low.
Yes.
It's proportional to then the escalation of that comes from the depletion, from being tired, from feeling overwhelmed, from feeling frustrated, right?
Yes.
So we need to have good tools to de-escalate. When we notice, okay, we're escalating, right? Okay.
Yep.
Oh. Stop.
Right. That literally being the first step, stop. Okay, hold on. Let's become aware. All right, what's going on? Why, what, how am I feeling? What is the status of my cup? You know, it's like literally look inside the cup. All right. Mm-hmm. How are we doing? You know, literally take inventory. Yes. How do I feel physically? How do I feel emotionally? What is my state? Mm-hmm.
Right, right. So another analogy for the cup would be like your fuel tank, you know, in your car, when like my BMW would tell me, okay, you have 150 miles fuel range left.
Yes.
When I ignore it, then it goes to orange when it's about 50 and says, hey, I'm serious. It's 50 now, right? Mm-hmm. So not only tells me, it blinks at me with an orange warning sign.
Ah, okay.
Right. So the first step is to notice, okay, this is escalating.
Yes.
The second step is stop the escalation.
Yes.
The third step, okay, so now that I stopped it going up, how do I make it go down?
Right. The tools for de-escalation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I think the first step, like the very first step when it comes to talking about tools for de-escalation, is to understand that most stress is self-induced.
Yes.
And most of it can be tracked back to the meaning that we assign to what's going on around us.
Yes. And the second is the quality of thoughts we're having because of that.
Ah.
Right.
Quality of thoughts. Yes.
Yeah, depends on what meaning we give things. So often we give it meaning that stresses us out or frustrates us or somehow is a minus charge,
right?
Of lack, scarcity, that causes us then those negative thoughts.
Yes.
Pessimistic, dark, heavy, negative thoughts.
Yes.
Thoughts that are really not setting us up for success, right? We find interpretation for things that are not most favorable.
Yes.
Which that's a great news, because if that's true and we know that is, that it means we are in charge of it. We are in control. We have the power.
Yes.
So again, it's the same process like with the stopping the regression. It's noticing, monitoring your thoughts and questioning them.
Yes.
Because the truth is, you can believe everything you tell yourself. But we think we do, right?
Mm-hmm. It's very true, yes.
Oh my gosh, we are so funny. We think something and we instantly act on it as if it was true.
Yes.
And so often it's not.
Yes.
But so few of us actually stop and says, wait, stop. Is that true? What did I just tell myself?
Right.
Oh my gosh, I feel like, so I like to do it. I usually observe it when I start feeling it in the body.
Mm.
So I would feel yucky and I would say, wait, I feel yucky. Why do I feel yucky? What did I just tell myself? And then I trace it back to a thought.
Yes.
I said, I don't know, I suck at this, or this is not going to work, or whatever it is I'm telling myself.
Uh-huh.
And then when I know what the thought is, I was able to identify it. Then I can look at it and even question it.
Yes.
And then I can ask myself, is it true?
Yes.
But we often don't even get there, right? We just feel something, think something. We actually think something super quickly, often unconsciously. Then it goes into the feeling and we then act on it as if it was true.
Yes, an unconscious process, just automatic reaction.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Hmm. Awareness.
Yeah.
Self-awareness.
Yes. Self-awareness, yeah. Okay, so that probably brings us into the next aspect of this, is talking about having the tools prepared in advance. And I think tool number one literally is that process of self-awareness, just being aware of where we are in any given moment, being aware of what we're telling ourselves in any moment. And then I think this is where we start talking about having the toolbox prepared ahead of time, so that when the situation starts rise, when we start to feel that cup running low, we know what to do in that moment. We already have the tools available.
Yes, exactly. So knowing yourself, knowing those early warning signs, well, actually, there's two things I mean by knowing yourself. Number one, knowing what your early, what your basic triggers are, knowing what your early warning signs are, knowing when you are down the slippery slope and about to snap. And the other part of it is being able to prevent it. If you know it, right? If you can predict it, you can prepare for it. Therefore, you can prevent it.
Yes.
Right? But again, that requires knowing yourself, this awareness, this presence with yourself, right, in a moment.
Yes.
And exactly like you said, so the second part is having this toolbox ready to use in an emergency situation to avoid the regression we talked about earlier, right? Because we know when we already are in this hectic situation, we regress, we're not creative. There is not a time when we start, what can I do now? Let me invent a new way.
Yeah. I ironically, when my cup is completely empty, that's also when I'm least inspired to go about filling my cup. I don't want to do anything. I'm just done.
Right.
I'm just done completely. So the whole point is to avoid getting to that level.
Right. When you're at that point, you're not energized. You're not inspired. You're not creative.
Right. Right. You're empty.
You're grumpy and you all about survival.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about how do we intentionally fill up our cup?
Yes. So some examples of the toolbox. Yeah.
Yeah, so how about we start with love languages?
I love it. Yes, let's do it.
Okay. So as some of you may know, there is 5 love languages. So knowing which ones are most important for us, in a sense, how do we feel most loved?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we know how we like to receive love, receiving love can be both from ourselves and from others, right?
Yes.
So if we know what your love language is, you can either ask for it and involve others in filling up your cup, or you can give it to yourself.
Yes.
Right. So those 5 love languages are words of affirmations.
Yes.
It's 1. Gift giving is 2. Third one is quality time. 4th one is physical touch.
Yes.
And the 5th one is acts of service.
Acts of service, yeah.
Acts of service. Yeah.
Okay. So are you open to doing some examples of, I mean, I think I know my previous experience with the 5 love languages usually involves giving and receiving with another person using these languages. And I think it's perhaps a slightly expanded exploration to talk about it in terms of speaking the love languages to ourselves or giving the love in the language of ourselves. So would you like to give some examples as we go through these?
Yeah, let's go through, maybe give examples how we do this. You mean for ourselves rather than involving others, right?
Okay. So let's start with the first one, words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I go into this loving self-talk, how I would want my ideal mommy, you know, my inner ideal parent to speak to me if I was a distressed child.
Yes. Loving.
If I was
tender.
A cranky little brat, you know, I would not want to be yelled at or criticized or spanked.
Right.
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 I would like to, for my mommy to say, hey, you are overtired, huh? What's going on? Let's see what we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Come get a hug, or okay, sit down for a minute. Whatever it is, right? So being gentle, having this gentle, loving self-talk.
Yes.
Or, you know, giving yourself a little pep talk, saying, yes, it does seem like it sucks right now. Yeah, it is hard. But guess what? You have done hard things in the past. You can do hard things. You know, just do your best and forget the rest. That's all you can do.
Yes. Yeah. for words of affirmation, this is something you had shared with me previously, is for this idea of going back and reviewing the gratitude journal. I think that can fall under words of affirmation as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, beautiful, beautiful things that I've been grateful for, things about myself that I'm grateful for, experiences that I've had that I've been grateful for. Just kind of like, just basically reminding myself that the sky's not falling. Like I am good. I do have this. Yes.
Yeah. And I think non-dramatizing, which is so easy to do at the moment, and generalizing. So for example, we would say, oh, this sucks.
Right. That's dramatizing.
Instead of saying, oh, it kind of sucks right now.
Right. Generalizing.
But life doesn't suck in general. Or saying, oh, I suck. Well, instead of like making it about you as a person that your survival depends on, how about saying, oh, it seems like I'm like not the most graceful with it at the moment.
It's a challenge for me right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I seem to be a little challenged at this as of now.
Yep.
Not my greatest work.
That's a right, right. It's just a gentler, and the, you know, I'm smiling as we're saying this. It's a kind of a humor.
Exactly.
To it, too.
Sense
it's
not of humor is another thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Let's move to the next one. Tell me about quality time.
Quality time. So for me, when I think about giving myself quality time, it's about literally giving myself the space to just be. It's so easy to view our life as dictated by some sort of script, like I've got to get up and I got to do this and then I got to do that. And it's like there's this stack of things and it's like I'm working through them layer by layer by layer. And so when I think about filling my own cup through quality time, I think about quite literally giving myself space to just be without the pressure of what comes next. Now, in a busy lifestyle, that doesn't mean that there's not anything that comes next. It may literally be, okay, I'm giving myself 1 hour. Yes, there is something I need to do after this. But what makes it quality time is the intention. You know, me saying to myself, you know what?
Labeling it.
Mm-hmm. Labeling it, right. You know what? Yes, I have this appointment that I have to be to at such and such a time. And I'm going to go now, stop at a park, sit on a bench by a river, and just allow myself to be for 45, 50 minutes, just with in total relaxation, labeling this as, you know what? I am just being with myself and I'm filling my cup through this act. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like giving myself quality time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned an hour and I instantly thought, if that came up for me, I'm sure it may come up from other people. Oh my gosh, an hour. That's a long time. I don't have an hour. Mm. Well, guess what? It's not about the amount of time. It's about the quality of time. You can give yourself 10 minutes and that can be way more recharging than an hour if you're not intentional with it.
It's all
going
about
back to
the
example,
intention.
Mm-hmm, going back to the example of, you know, pouring over water in
right.
a cup and spilling all over. If you do that for an hour, it's not going to be as fulfilling as intentionally holding the cup and aiming right in it for 10 minutes.
100% presence in 10 mm-hmm. minutes is going to deliver more satisfaction, more of a filled cup than 40 to 50% presence over an hour.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay, how about physical touch?
Yes, physical touch. So when I think, I mean, obviously, when we think physical touch, a lot of times we think other people, and you'd given the example of asking for a hug. But there's also a way to give that to myself as well. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll just literally, using the palms of my hands, I'll literally just place them one on my chest, one on my belly. And it's just, again, it's not so much what I'm doing, it's the intention with which I'm doing it. I'm just literally being with my physical body when I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for me, it would be, let's say I feel tired. I come home after a long day and I feel tired and I would massage my own feet.
Ah, giving yourself a foot massage, yeah.
Yes, or I would like touch something nice. Something that feels good, a fabric, a blanket.
Mm.
you know, mm-hmm. when I have this kinesthetic sensation, yes. of touching something nice, or I snuggle up with my dog, he's mm-hmm. super soft, mm-hmm. you know, and cuddly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, let's talk about gifts. That's another love language.
I think that's your turn. Tell me about gifts. Yeah.
Giving gifts. Well, I think it comes with this intention of gifting myself. And it doesn't really matter so much what it is, other mm-hmm. than being aware to what I need right now and mm-hmm. Choosing a gift that would meet the need.
Yes. Okay.
So, you know, if I, like every woman in the world, go to my closet and say, I have nothing to wear, you know.
Yeah.
A gift would be getting myself something. Right.
Yes.
But if I'm hungry, a gift would be, and I'm hungry and tired and I don't feel like cooking, a gift would be going and grabbing my favorite takeout.
Yes. Ooh, I like that. There's something kind of gentle about that. It's like, okay, I'm aware of what my needs are in this moment and I'm allowing myself to meet them with ease and grace in a beautiful way.
Yes. Yeah, I guess the question is like, what can I gift myself with at the moment that would make this situation that I'm currently in better, feeling better,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And when you ask yourself that, then you know what the gift is.
Yes.
To be given.
Oh, I like that. So you become very aware of what's happening in the moment, which of course increases the satisfaction of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me about acts of service.
So for this, where I'm going to take this one anyways, is doing things that are loving, kind, gentle, and in service of myself. And a lot of times this ends up being of my physical body. So, you know, things like taking a bath or taking a salt bath or a foot salt bath or, you know, doing, you know, things of that nature that kind of help me feel well taken care of, right? Mm-hmm. Well cared for. That's how mm-hmm. I kind of interpret that. What is your take on acts of service?
I like that. Yeah, because when we think of acts of service towards others, it's doing nice things for them that would make them happy,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. So how can you serve yourself? How can you do something nice for yourself that makes you happy?
Oh, yes. You know, what just occurred to me is kind of a different angle on this. I think an act of service could also be asking for help.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Understanding, definitely. Yeah, understanding what's going on. If you're in a situation of overwhelm, you feel like your cup is running low. I think that being kind, gentle, and aware of that, an act of service to one's own self could involve asking for help, or perhaps said another way, delegating.
Or perhaps saying no.
Or saying no. Beautiful. Yes.
You know, and also not only setting the boundaries, but doing it without guilt or shame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Without so saying guilt or shame. No, yes, saying no and feeling okay about it.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. That's so important. Yeah.
Okay. So now that we know that intentionally, to be able to intentionally fill up our cup, we kind of have to start with our love languages, understand what it is that makes us feel loved. Let's talk about some great practical tools that are also simple and are always readily available to be used in not so ideal world that we live in.
Yeah. Okay. So right? I think absolutely hands down, the very first thing to talk about is the simplest tool of all, our breath.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I like that. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how just the simple act of becoming aware of our breath and breathing with intention can very quickly shift our whole state, our whole physiology.
Yes, noticing our breath, noticing, oh my gosh, I'm breathing super shallow because I'm stressed out. Uh-huh. Or I'm holding my breath because I'm tense, right? Mm-hmm. Observing what's even going on with our breath and then intentionally slowing it down and deepening it.
Yes.
Oh, and sighing. Sighing is so important. It feels so good.
It does feel so good.
Because if we've been holding it or breathing shallow, oh, we have things to let go, right?
Yes.
And by sighing, we take a deeper breath in, so we naturally slow and deepen our breath, mm-hmm. which is very calming from our nervous system. It's not woo. It's not some, you know, spiritual out there hippie thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. Science.
It's science.
It's physiology.
Yeah. There's a biological response when you allow your cells of your body to oxygenate properly. Yes.
Yes. Oh, very mm-hmm. grounding, very calming for your yes. nervous system.
Yeah.
So it definitely influences your physiology, therefore your emotions, mm-hmm. how you feel about things, how you're able to perceive them. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Another tool that's connected with breath is meditation. And yes. again, meditation, I feel like it's, again, this cliche concept, right?
Yeah.
And people imagine, oh my gosh, I have to sit there for an hour and levitate, and I need to, you know, quit my life and go to the ashram to mm-hmm. be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I often do it as I'm driving.
Yeah, same.
Or as yes. I'm doing, you know, just the manual task. There could be a meditation in movement,
yes.
in action, simply by being monitoring your breath and being fully aware to what I'm doing right now and not thinking of other things.
Yes.
Or let's say I'm driving. I definitely won't be closing my eyes,
right.
but I can still take a breath in and out and say things to myself. So simple meditation. I am here right now in this. Mm. When you inhale and say, I exhale, am on the inhale here, on the exhale now, and you keep going.
Yeah.
Super simple. You
super
can do it
simple.
Standing in line.
Yes.
Driving your car yes. in a meeting.
Yes. Any situation.
So powerful. So yes. powerful.
Yes. Yeah. That's a very practical tool that could be adapted to literally anything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I think the next one would be visualization, mm-hmm. which is one way of saying that is simply becoming aware of the state that you want to be in.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, because we are so present to what is, and often when we think visualization, again, we think I need to be in this perfect, you know, salt tank of isolation to be able to just, you know, paint this amazing vision for another half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, that's an ideal, beautiful state.
Yeah.
But simply, let's say you are in a stressful situation, and you can literally close your eyes for 1 minute and think, okay, I am feeling tense. I am feeling stressed out. I am feeling anxious. Well, it's real. I'm feeling this way. Okay. How would I rather be feeling?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, how different would my breath be? How different would I feel in my body and where if I was relaxed?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, visualizing, creating that state.
Yes.
Which will then be created physiologically.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a key point to understand. Again, science, you know, they talk about how really what happens in our internal world, a lot of times our body cannot differentiate between external stimuli and internal stimuli. This is exactly why athletes employ this practice of visualizing running a race. You know, without
and
actually
winning,
even
yes.
and winning, yes, without actually even moving their physical body, because they're literally programming, you know, their physiological response to that outcome.
Yes, and our mind does not know the difference between so-called reality on the outside and our reality, our truth.
Yes. So through the practice of literally tuning in, almost like you're tuning your antenna, tuning into the feelings that you do intentionally want to feel, you are creating the opportunity for those hormones, your neurobiology, your neural pathways to start to align with that state. So it's like you're literally creating the potential for that state by taking the time to do that through that visualization.
Yes, through mental visualization, you trigger the biofeedback loop of creating the physiology for it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Amazing.
Good. Okay.
Okay, next one. Affirmations. And again, I feel like it's again this cliche statement, affirmations.
Right.
What is that? Really, what affirmation is our self-talk. Mm. Anything we say to ourselves becomes an affirmation.
Wow. Right? Yes.
If you tell yourself, I think he was Ford, the inventor of Ford.
Mm-hmm. Henry
Ford, who said, either you believe you can or cannot, you are right. Mm-hmm. It is true.
It is true.
If you keep telling yourself, I can do this, well, guess what? Right? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
If you tell yourself, I can do hard things, I can do this.
Yeah.
You are so much more likely to succeed, right? So affirmation is really self-talk, whatever we tell ourselves.
Yeah.
So the next tool would be, well, then use it wisely. Manage your thoughts.
Yes.
I've heard this funny saying that our head is not a safe neighborhood to be wandering around alone. You know, it can be a very dangerous hood.
Mm. Yes.
Again, because we tend to believe everything we think.
Yes.
And it's so often not true. So, okay, let's again be intentional about managing our thoughts, not just being victimized by them and running with them.
Yes.
And being, you know, pulled back and forth like a little leaf on the wind.
Yes.
But let's be thoughtful about what we think and manage our thoughts. Which means being able to reframe them. But first, we have to be aware of them,
right?
Notice them. Know, okay, why am I feeling yucky? What did I just tell myself? Oh, I said something negative, dark, heavy, diminishing, unloving, mm-hmm. That makes me feel weak, victimized, hopeless, stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So how can I question it? How can I reframe it? Right. And we often use those big quantifiers. It never works.
Mm.
Oh, she's always this way.
Right.
Well, is that true? Is it never? Is it really always? Am I really that way? Or am I just being that way at that moment?
Uh-huh.
Can I recall evidence in the past in my life that are to a contrary of me always sucking at everything?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So managing those thoughts and again, being this loving parent or this mature adult that can have a nice conversation rather than a spitting, you know, fist fighting, verbal diarrhea going on.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Another one, laughter.
Laughter, yes. Again, science, right? Like
science.
Yes, the way that even just the act of laughing, you were talking about earlier about how it's like you're literally, it's like you're shaking, you said it's like a jackhammer. You're literally like shaking things off of your state. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an energy breaking. It literally acts as a jackhammer in your body. It breaks up energy, stuck energy, blocks of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it moves your muscles, your diaphragm, right? It moves energy in a body, creates a different physiology and a different feeling. Again, it's not a woo, it's science.
Right.
It's physiological biofeedback loop.
Yes.
And, you know, you can, you know, it's easy to laugh when something is funny, but you can laugh even when things are not funny, not because they are funny. You consciously choose to love to create this state in your body.
It's like a feedback loop in reverse. Yeah, you're like feeding it back. Yep.
And if it's hard for you to self-induce laughter and it feels stupid, then go on YouTube and watch a funny video. Provoke this, you know, the situation of laughter.
With intention, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Look for it, right?
Yes.
Look at funny video of, I don't know, people sleeping on ice, whatever it is that makes you laugh, right? Mm-hmm. Which that connects me to another tool, which is physical movement.
Yes.
And it could be working out. It could be walking. It could be jumping, dancing, mm-hmm. or just even standing firmly with both feet on the ground and shaking.
Yes.
Wiggling, you know, juggling your body to shake it off. You know, when I say that, I always think of Taylor Swift and her song, shake it off, and her silly video where mm-hmm. she does all these silly dances. Mm-hmm. So maybe there you go. Maybe you can connect those two tools, laughter and physical movement, by, you know, watching Taylor Swift video and doing a little follow-up tutorial mm-hmm. on your own, you know.
Yep.
You know, Simon Says.
It's interesting because this is something that animals in nature do instinctively. When an animal has a adrenaline response, once the immediate threat of fight or flight, the stress is over, a lot of times you'll see them shake it off quite literally. I watched a squirrel do it the other day. I came around the corner and I surprised a squirrel and he froze, you know, for a moment. And then once he realized that I wasn't going to hurt him, he started pulsing his whole body from head to toe. And it was his way of working out the hormones and chemicals that had been triggered through his stress response. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's intuitive for animals. And I think for humans, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we have a physical body that can benefit from these types of things as well.
Yes, yes. Because we often do freeze or, you know, get in our head, right? And mm-hmm. forget about our body. Definitely. Mm-hmm. One more tool I want to mention is beauty. Mm. We are biologically programmed for beauty.
Yes.
And so I think that what another good tool for stress relief could be and filling your cup is experiencing something beautiful or something that is lovely or loved. So it could be, you know, looking at your kids' pictures. It could be smelling the flowers, looking at beautiful flowers, right? Going on Pinterest for 5 minutes and looking at beautiful, whatever it is you love.
Yes.
Places, amazing destinations to travel to, fashion, amazing, beautiful interiors, whatever it is that you find beautiful.
Yes.
So, yeah, being, as my boyfriend as a compliment to me used to say, I get weak in the presence of beauty. And he would say it looking me straight in my eyes, meaning he finds me beautiful and his knees get weak. Mm. So yes, get weak in the presence of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful way to relax your body as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good amount of practical tools, I feel. And I feel, you know, a lot of those, they don't take this huge window of dedicated time. It's just simply being aware enough to see the opportunity to apply them even in the moment with intention.
Yes.
Conscious presence.
Yes. So the invitation would be make a list.
Yes.
And maybe make it on your phone, because most of us have our phones with us at any given time. So take time to make this little list. And then when you get stressed, you don't have to think about it. You just look at the list. Okay, this is doable right now. I can pick this. Mm-hmm. I can do it in 5 minutes I have, or 10 minutes I have.
Yes.
Or maybe I can combine two of them.
Yes. My self-care toolbox.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Readily accessible on your smartphone.
I love it.
Right.
Okay.
Oh. Wow, we covered a lot of ground today.
We did. It feels good. I'm feeling like my cup is full, even just from this conversation.
For even knowing how many amazing ways you can fill it up with, uh-huh. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. There are choices, people. We are never as stuck as we think we are.
Yes,
there's hope.
There's always hope. Yes.
Yes.
Well said.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, I feel complete.
I feel complete as well. It's obviously it's such a deep topic and so much to be said about it, but I feel like this opens it and talks about some practical ways to apply it to daily life with the art of intentional creation. Yes.
Yes. I love it.
Awesome.
Well, thank you. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too. I'll talk to
Stay
you soon.
Stay tuned and come back for more soon.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this intentional creation. Find us on Instagram @ArtOfIntentionalCreation.